Somebody give him a clap of hand this morning.
Now I'd like you to move into celebration for the birth of the Savior. Give him the, give him a clap and a shout of praise. Hey. You are the Lamb. Help me shake the hands of five people around you and tell them I wish you a Merry Christmas. Congratulations for the birth of our Savior. You are the Lamb, you are the Lamb, you are the Lamb. You are the Lamb of all. You are the Lamb of all. Oh, truth. You are the Lamb. You are the Lamb of all. You are the Lamb of all. You are the Lamb. Shiva, big clap of hand as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have the tendency to be excited and literally overexcited on Christmas Day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please stand up on your feet and let's read responsively Luke chapter 2 from verse 1 all the way to verse 14. It's a long reading, so I'd like us to read it together. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Verse 2. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went off from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hey! Go. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, everybody, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Give the Lord a loud shout of praise. Bless the word today, and let not one person leave here the same way they have come, in Jesus' precious name. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. This morning we are looking at the purpose of his birth. The purpose of Christ's birth. And our objective is just like the theme suggests, understanding the purpose of Christ's birth. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, like you know, is the most celebrated event in the history of mankind. Even though many don't understand the full meaning and purpose of what we celebrate. I remember when we were children, when Christmas was coming to an end, the Christmas day was coming to an end. It was a very sad moment. Why should this day end? And then you began to look forward to the next one from the last one. You know, and it's celebrated around the world. Non-Christians, I remember we went to the country of Singapore in the month of November many years ago. And the whole city was alight with decoration from November. This was not predominantly a Christian country. You go to the Middle East, some parts of the Middle East. You go to Dubai, you go to some places, you'll be shocked at the level of celebration you may see in the air. Even Christian countries who celebrate Christmas, many do not understand the exact purpose. Some think it's all about Christmas trees or Father Christmas or several things that are traditional that have nothing to do with Christmas whatsoever. The question is, why was the Christ born? I'm going to trust God to rush very quickly seven reasons among many others that we will be exploring. Number one, he was born to redirect man. Christ was born. Jesus Christ was born to redirect man back to God. Redirect. He was born to show humanity the way back to the Creator. The way back to the Creator. You remember that when man fell in the Garden of Eden, God drove them literally out of the garden, according to Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 24. He drove them out of the garden and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword. So from that moment on, humankind became hopelessly lost. And from the Garden of Eden till today, some are still struggling for the way back to God. The way back to God through several means. Diverse religions of the world. The other day I was watching a T.L. Osborne's documentary. And I saw the kind of thing that some religions of the world pass through to make their way back to God. We saw something in a part of India where somebody put wood on the ground, and then and the wood had nails, that is nail spikes on. Just imagine wood on the ground with nail pointing up, like maybe 1,000 nails or 100 or 500 nails on a flat sheet, and then he lays on it on his bare body and bare back with hand up. Assuming that such level of punishment can make him near God. There is something they call self-flagellation in some parts of, I think, the Philippines, where they come out on a particular day and the man is beating himself with whips that have iron inside, and he beats himself black and blue just in an attempt to see if he can be closer or appease God. So the religions of the world came as an attempt of man looking for God, finding their way back to God. But Jesus Christ came as the way of God, finding man back to himself. Am I communicating at all? Whereas religion is man looking for God, Christianity is God looking for man. That is a major bulk and a world of difference. That is why Jesus said, I am the way. The very way you are looking for in Buddhism, in Hinduism, the very way you are looking for in all the religions of the world, I am that way. in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the truth, I am the life. And to confirm that he was the way, when he was born, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, a star appeared in the Far East, call it China area, call it Southeast Asia. And then Jesus was born in Bethlehem and of Judea, and then the wise men came saying, wise men came from saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we have come. So he appeared to them in the east as star and then led them to himself as God to be worshipped. Am I communicating at all? The Bible referred to him as the day star in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 19. The star, the only star that is bright enough to shine in the day. Other stars shine in the night. He said we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day thou and the day star arise in your hearts. He came to make man find his way back to God. That is why when we give our life to Christ, some people say, I found Christ in the year of 3rd May 19. No. You don't find Christ. Christ was not missing. He found you. The day you gave your life to Christ was the day Jesus found you. It was the day heaven found you. Am I communicating at all? And what was the implication of that star we saw? It is the symbolism of him leading people back to God, leading, redirecting man back to the Creator. Why was Jesus Christ born? Number two, Jesus Christ was born to connect earth to heaven. Earth to heaven. He was born to connect earth to heaven. The terrestrial with the celestial. He was born to connect the earth to the heaven. The terrestrial with the celestial. To connect humanity with divinity. To bring the sound of heaven to the earth. That was what we read in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 8 to verse 11. Where he said that the angels arrived. Shepherds were keeping watch over their flock in the night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. That was heaven invading the earth. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. And then for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now jump to verse 13. And he said, and then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. That is, the heaven literally invaded the earth, praising God and saying, the angel that just came, a host just arrived from heaven. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I speak to somebody here on this celebration of the birth of Jesus. Heaven shall invade your life. Heaven shall invade your family. Heaven shall invade our nation. Heaven shall invade our community. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. It was the connection, the connection. The earth had been cut off from heaven for a long time. Humanity was cut off from God for a long time. But the birth of Jesus Christ was actually the meeting point of humanity and divinity. Why was he born? Number three, Jesus Christ was born to reintroduce the life of God back to man. To reintroduce the life of God back to man. What do I mean by that? When man fell in the Garden of Eden, the life of God ended in man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, all the way to verse 16. God told man, he said, and the Lord God put the man, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, you know the rest of the story. Man ate the fruit. Romans chapter 6, verse 26, 23. For all have sinned. And no. For the wages of sin is death.
but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when Adam fell, even though man was physically alive, God said when they ate the fruit, they will die. But when Adam ate the fruit, he didn't fall down. He was still standing. He was still standing, but it was carcass that was standing. He was still standing. The life of God was gone. The Zoe life was gone. He was left with natural life. Am I speaking to somebody here? And therefore, God wanted man to experience Zoe, to experience the life of God. Is somebody here at all? To experience supernatural life, to experience his life again. So he sent his son into the earth with unnatural life. Did you hear what I just said? Unnatural life. Natural life happens when a man meets with a woman. And then the seed of the man, the seed of the woman merges together. And then an ovum leads on to the birth of a child. But this was unnatural. The natural process was bypassed. It was a supernatural life. If you were to ask me now, what was the blood group of Jesus Christ? I cannot say blood group A or blood group B or AB or blood group O. It will be blood group H, blood group heaven. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? Makashakatakala. So it was not a natural life he came with. He came with a supernatural life, a divine life in a human body. So that humanity can partake in divinity. So that it can be possible that you can live in the flesh and yet carry the life of God. You can live in the flesh and yet carry that life that Adam lost. I speak to somebody here. In the name that is above every name, from this moment forward, your life shall cease to be just ordinary and normal. Your life shall be supernatural and divine. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. If you carry a supernatural life, a divine life, a Zoe life, what happens in the natural order can never be your portion. They say there is an ancestral curse, a generational family disease that finishes people in your lineage. It's not your portion because you are connected to an unnatural life, connected to a divine life, connected to a supernatural life. Is there someone here God is talking to? Say a louder amen. Say the loudest amen. Give the Lord the shout of praise as you take your seat. He says, all sin fell short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death. But God brought the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, his son. Romans 6:23. The gift of eternal life, there is Zoe, life, the life of God. And then he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whatever life was lost before, you are gaining it back. So from today, don't look at yourself as a normal human being. What can I do? No. You are more than normal human being. If you carry, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in the world than he. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the confidence that overcometh the world, even our faith. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Why was Jesus Christ born? Number three. This will excite you. Number four now. Jesus Christ was born to attract all men to God. To attract all men. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. All men. To attract all men. What do I mean by that? He was born to attract. Look at this. He appeared to the wise men in the east.
and manifested himself also to the shepherds in the bush. Two extreme kind of people. Wise men in the East were intellectual astrologers, uncircumcised, irreligious. Shepherds in the bush were illiterate, circumcised, religious. To both group of people, I want to show you myself. And also speak to you in the language that you will understand. Jewish shepherds will understand angels. Occultic astronomers and astrologers will understand the language of the stars. Am I communicating at all? So he is lifted to attract all men. The religious, the irreligious, the literate, the illiterate, the circumcised, the uncircumcised, the spiritual, the non-spiritual, and for your information, the poor and the rich, the high and the low, the royalty and the commoner. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the royalty that decided to become the commoner? He was from the tribe and lineage of David. You just read that. From the tribe and lineage, he was of the tribe of Judah in the flesh, both mother and father, of the same line. The tribe and lineage of David. The seed of David, thou son of David, thou son of David, the root of Jesse, the lion of the tribe of Judah, that is royalty, that was born in the house of a carpenter. So if you are royal, he got you covered. If you are a common pauper on the street, he got you covered. Does that interest you to know that his forefather, David, owned the city? Bethlehem was called the city of David. Jerusalem was the city of David. David conquered the city that was his forefather, his grandfather. Yet when it was time to be born, there was no room to be born. How can your father own a city and yet you don't have a room to be born? He had no room to be born until he was born in an animal's house. In a manger with the excrement of animals. He did that on purpose. He could have been born in anywhere, but he could decide where to be born. He determined to be born through Mary. She was selected supernaturally and divinely. And she was the one carrying Mary. Mary wasn't carrying him. That was the first pregnancy that carried the owner. Other pregnancies, the women carried the pregnancy. This pregnancy carried the pregnant woman. Uphold all things. When I get into heaven, I might like to ask Mary some questions. The kind of presence she felt carrying that pregnancy. Because angels were all around. The kind of person she was. Am I communicating at all? That is the Christ we are talking about, who has the widest appeal. So if you are a king, you are not more kingly than him. If you are poor, you are not more poor than him. When it was time for him to be dedicated, Joseph could not afford a ram. He was able to buy two pigeons. That's what the Bible prescribed, that those who are not rich enough, two pigeons will be enough. That was what Joseph bought. You see, so he decided to pass through everywhere. pass through poverty, pass through wealth, pass through royalty, pass through. He decided to pass through the intellectuals, pass through the illiterates, so that any realm where you are, he can find you. I prophesy to someone here, Jehovah, Jesus Christ is finding you where you are. 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 Is it not interesting to note that where you are is not as important as who you are? Where you are is not as important as who you are. Your present situation is not as important as your future destination. It's not as important as your future destination. Your content is more important than your condition. I just said something. Did you hear that? Your content is more important than your condition. That is a message for another day. Why was he born? That he might draw all men. That he might have an appeal to everybody across board, across every spectrum of life. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Why was Jesus Christ born? Number 5. And I trust God to be able to round off within the time. Jesus Christ was born to tackle the sin question. Sin question. When Adam fell and Eve, God killed one animal for the couple. Genesis chapter 3 verse 21. He won't see where he killed the animal, but you will see where he used the cloth, the coat, the skin of the animal. And unto Adam also and his wife did God make coats of skins and clothe them. A sacrificial lamb must have been needed to immediately atone for the iniquity of this man and his wife immediately. That was an animal for a couple. In the land of Egypt, God used a lamb for a household. Now this is increasing. Exodus chapter 12 verse 3 to 4. In order to atone for the sins of men, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. That was what was called the Passover lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall you make count for the lamb. So there was a Passover sacrificial lamb. Now this is one lamb for a couple. Now this is a lamb for. And of course the two were one. So you can call it a lamb for a person. And now this lamb for a whole household. Then God moved from there to a ram for a nation. That was the nation of Israel on the Day of Atonement. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 7. The Bible said, but into the second tabernacle, when the high priest only once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. So, we see the blood atoning for a couple. Which is one, a household, and now a nation. But the Bible says all those sacrifices were not enough to remove sin. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 3 to 4, he said, it was not possible but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats and lambs and rams should take away sin. Those were temporary measures. So there is a need for a permanent measure. And what should be the permanent measure? The permanent measure
should be a blood, not of animal. The blood of animal is limited. The blood of animal is corrupted. Animal life is temporary life. Am I communicating?
Why is the blood of animal corrupted? Because when man fell, everything on earth fell. Everything on earth fell. Everything got corrupted. For example, we were created to command animals. But yet, an animal can kill a person now.
Because of the bondage of corruption.
The animals, they were denatured. What were mentioned, well, what were created to command and say, come is now pursuing and a man is running.
Because that nature died. When we get into heaven, you will see lions and all those things there. In their original creative condition, where the lion and the lamb will walk together. It is written in Isaiah.
So everything fell. That is why at times your dog will like to bark if you are not careful.
So the blood of bulls cannot cleanse the sin of man. So we need, there is the need for a blood that is not spotted with sin, that is not corrupt. And none of the prophets of old could have died because they were all sinners. Abraham couldn't have been sacrificed for us. Not Moses, who broke the Ten Commandments. Not David. I'm far from Solomon. None of them could have died for us. There is a blood that needed to be shed that had not known sin. And that was the blood I just talked about. That came from heaven. Because if a man met with a man and gave birth to a child, the blood system, the genetics would have come from their parents. But since a man didn't meet with a man, God needed to give a blood that was not from here. And that blood is clean and pure. That is condition number one, fulfilled. Second condition is, the person that should die for us should have enough capacity to cover the whole of mankind. One man may be able to cover one man. But we needed a blood from somebody who is massive enough to delete the iniquity of mankind at once. The only person that can do that is God. But God can't die as God. He has to become person. Did you hear what I said? God cannot die as God. So God, who is massive enough to accommodate mankind, because out of him we came. Everyone that has ever been born, that will ever be born, came out from him. So he has enough capacity of accommodation for all of us. If he wants, he can draw us all back into himself and remain the same. So, God decided now to become man. To carry a blood that is not man's blood, but to live in a body that looks like a man. So that he can shed that blood and die for man, and in so doing is equal to the task of all men. Somebody give him the praise. Somebody give him the praise. That was how the sin question was handled and deleted once and for all. I prophesy to somebody here today, everything that is a bondage of sin in your life, today that bondage and that yoke is broken, is collapsed. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Is somebody getting anything at all here today? You see, until the Holy Spirit shows the us these things, we can't see it. That is why some people, how can God be man? How can God have a son? It is not in the intellect of a man that this can be understood. It is in the wisdom of God. That is why the Bible said, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The wisdom was beyond them. Say the loud amen. Take your seat.
Why was Christ born? Are you ready for this? I have two more and then we are through. Jesus Christ was born to reveal the infinite possibilities and immutability of God. He was born to reveal to us the possibilities and the immutability, unchangeability of God. That is how unchangeable God is. For example, the prophecy that Jesus Christ will be born appeared first at the creation. That is thousands of years. 4,000 years, 5,000 years, thousands of years before Jesus was born. When Adam fell and God was speaking to the serpent, he said, the seed of the woman. This woman that you deceive so, a woman shall bring forth a seed. He didn't say the seed of a man. That was why it wasn't a man that was physically involved in the birth of the master. The seed of the woman. The seed of this woman. I'm bringing a seed out of the woman without consultation with the man. Without the involvement of the man, a seed of the woman shall bruise your head. And then unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. All these prophecies came. And God said, even though it tarries, wait for it. It shall come to pass. This is all showing us that we serve the God who says it and does it and does it and say it. He does it, says it, does it. It also shows that we serve a God who cannot be stranded. Satan, you wanted to spoil my plan with man. I have a plan B. The possibilities of God, the immutability of God. I created man in my image and I wanted to fellowship with him and have relationship and interaction with him so he can dominate for me on the earth. And you have introduced sin into his life and corrupted his life and pushed him out of my plan. Get ready, I have a plan B. We serve the God who cannot be stranded. He cannot be taken by surprise. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know who this is for this morning, but the devil thought that he has spoiled the plan of God for your life. He has spoiled a marital relationship or he has spoiled something in your life. But I am here to announce to you, God has another plan. He has a better plan. He has another plan. He has a better plan. For all things work together for good to them that love God, even to them that are the called according to his purpose. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. You believe that God has another plan, a better plan, a more glorious plan. Shout the loudest, amen. Look at your neighbor, say with God, all things are possible. Say, get ready on this Christmas day for the possibilities of your God. Give the Lord a big clap of hands. Is it making sense to you? Is it making any sense to you at all? What does it mean to you that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, okay, God, became a man? I've said it many times. God, who sits in heaven and the earth is his footstool. That is, his Leg rest is the whole world. That is, his leg is big enough, or literally bigger than the globe, when he sits in heaven. And the earth is his leg rest. The earth has billions of people, but its leg rest is the earth. Yet that God decided to become man. What is that? Atlantic Ocean entered Coke bottle. How can the ant swallow the elephant? But when you think about it, how is this possible? Mount Everest became construction sand. The whole mountain entered into a piece of sand. What do you call the fingerling? Is it the tadpole? The tadpole. That tadpole swallowed the shark. In fact, a whale. You know a whale? The tail of a whale is like a little aeroplane. The heart of a whale is like a car. The blood vessels of a whale, man can swim inside. The blue whale especially. That whale got swallowed by a tadpole is not equal to God emptying himself into man. That's the kind of possibility we are talking about. And it is possible when you realize that the Bible says God can turn 1,000 years into a day. Second Peter chapter 3 verse 8. He can collapse 1,000 years into one day. And expand one day into 1,000 years. That's the basis of eternity. Endless endlessness. He can turn a man into an animal. Who was that? And he can make an animal function like a man. Where was that? The donkey of Balaam that became a prophet. That is, I can do and undo. Anything I want, I do. I can make 1,000 years become a day. I can make a day expand into 1,000 years. Am I communicating? There are people seated here today. God is about to contract something for your sake and expand something else for your sake. That amen is not a good one. You can say an amen like a believer. God is about to expand something for your sake and is about to contract something else for your sake. Shout the loudest amen. Lift your hands and lift your voice and say, oh Lord, I believe. I believe. Now say, I believe 5 times. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. If that is at the back of your mind, that is the basis for the Son of God, or God the Son, becoming the Son of Man. And he's moving as the Son of Man. Meganess inside meaningness without any confusion. He was not less God than God, and he was not less man than man. All in one is the possible. I want your mind to expand and stop limiting God. I want your mind to expand. We are going to be seeing some frightening things in this time. Look at the testimony that girl shared. In the midst of the accident, he saw her pastor, myself, held her hand and held her leg. When was this thing? When was the accident? Yesterday night. Held her hand and her leg. Moved. Next thing she saw was that she was outside the accident. And he saw me wearing the dress I wore for communion service. Outside the accident. Her bag was beside her. The fruit in the basket remained in the basket. Have you ever seen where accident happened and fruit did not pour? It didn't shake. She came with the basket. He said only one hand of the basket was slightly affected. God used that to show that it was a real accident. One pastor testified, he said, along one of the roads, when they encountered some kidnappers and so on, they pointed the gun at him, shot. He didn't shoot. They pointed at the vehicle, shot. Holes in the vehicle. He said, God used that to show him that they were not plastic bullets. I'm standing there ministering, and somebody said, I left there and came to where she was, and laid hands on her in the same dress I am. Fell under power. Breast lump disappeared. And breast lump disappeared from her mother in Cross River State. Breast lump of 20 something years. 21 years. Both of them. I heard that in ancient times, ancient monks had a lot of such experiences. They used to call it multi-location. Here you are standing, and there you are ministering. Catholics are aware of it. Am I communicating? We are about to see strange things. You are driving a car. Another vehicle is about to collide with you, and there is only one bridge. The vehicle moved to the other side. You just found yourself on the other side of the bridge. That is, both you and the vehicle disappeared. Journey is meant to be 4 hours. And you are driving. And you have arrived at the city where you are going. And you check your time. It was 1 hour, 30 minutes. Oh, a journey of 4 hours. God contracted the time. Interspaced the time with some portions of eternity. Sharp. You know why I'm saying it now? There are things we know we have not said. There are things we understand we haven't said because of it will be misunderstood. There are things we have been shown that we have not shared. Some we may not share even in the next 10, 15 years. Until some understandings come up a bit. But there are those that must be shared. So that we can see the results. I prophesy to somebody here today. I prophesy to somebody here today. Very, very soon. Unusual possibilities. The kind of things that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, that has not entered into the heart of man. Those kind of things I prophesy to you today, you shall step into them. You shall see the multidimensional possibilities of God. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen.
Talking with Papa Yedepo, he was talking with us. He said some of the things he has written in some of his personal jotters, he can't preach them because people can't understand them. People will confront them, so he just calmed down. He said some he may go without saying a word about them. Am I communicating? But we are in those days. Get ready. Did you hear what I just said now? I just scintillated your mind. You are on a journey that should last 4 hours. And you say, welcome to Makurdi. And you check your time. You only did 1.5 hours. Where did I pass?
Somebody shout power! Somebody shout power! Somebody shout the loudest, power! Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat. Finally, Jesus Christ was born for the restoration of peace to mankind. He was born for the restoration of peace to mankind. I was not meant to exceed highest 1 hour in this message. And I think I'm still within time. Peace. You know, immediately God drove Adam from the Garden of Eden. Crisis came. He drove them in chapter 3. Cain killed Abel in chapter 4. Peace was lost. Crisis ensued. You move further to chapter 11. Chapter 11 or chapter 6. You jam the Tower of Babel. Chapter 11. You meet all manner of disasters. Because the presence of God is synonymous with peace. That was why when Jesus was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, he's called the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So a major agenda for his arrival is peace. Luke chapter 2, where we read verse 13 and 14. When the announcement was being made, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. What is peace? Peace, one, is freedom from disturbance. When a man is in the realm where he's free from disturbance. Number two, peace is the absence of worry, anxiety, fear. Where it appears like there is no problem under heaven. Jesus came for that. What is peace? Third, you remember in the flood, Jesus spoke to the water and said, peace be still. Peace is defined as a state or period in which there is no war. A state or period in which there is no war. It's more like existing as if the devil does not exist. Peace. Let me give you my own definition and scripture now. Out of those definitions, the one and three were dictionary definitions of Webster's dictionary. Now, peace is the combination of hope and joy. When hope marries joy, I hope I have not created a problem. I hope there is no man here whose name is Hope who has been thinking of a girl called Joy. When hope marries joy, peace can be delivered. Peace. You know, most of the time when a person is hopeless, he is peaceless. If you permit me the use of that word. There can be no peace in the absence of hope. Where you have no future to look to. Where everything appears uncertain. And of course, there can be no peace in depression, in the absence of joy. But this is the truth. Where there is hope, there will be joy. You are happy because the Bible says we rejoice in hope. Think Romans chapter 5, verse 5 thereabout. Where there is peace, there will be hope. And where there is hope, there will be joy. And where there is joy, peace is established. I speak peace to somebody right now. You know, you have billionaires who have no peace. Lord Byron, I heard, committed suicide. Wealthy man. Several people who can't sleep at night. They can't boast of a decent night's sleep. As you see them flashing in the daytime, either in one occult group or the other in the night, afraid of it, afraid permanently. I heard from a repented occultic person in their fraternity. You say when someone arrives first, and this fraternity is to make money, is to prolong life, is to do a man of things. When somebody arrives, they sing a song in their occultic language that the newcomer does not understand. He will only understand it after he has joined them. And what is the song? Something we entered that we are looking for a way to come out. We don't know how to come out. That is something somebody is trying to enter now. That is the song that they are singing, and the newcomer is not aware. He only knows the song after he has entered. Something we joined. We are trying to see how to come out. We don't know how to come out. Is that something that somebody wants to join now? That is to show you the so-called millionaires, billionaires, rich, wealthy people of the world. No peace. No peace in the streets. No peace anywhere. The only peace we find is in Jesus Christ. I've seen so many people come around my environment. And they say, this place is so peaceful. So peaceful. So peaceful. My children tell me that too. You said? Yes, she's saying, once you get in there, sleep can come instantly. It's so peaceful. That is the peace of his presence. From this moment forward, every pressure in your life disappears. Hey! Every pressure, every anxiety, every worry, every fear of your life disappears forever. And whatever is fighting your peace, Whatever is confronting your peace, whatever is challenging your peace, I declare that confrontation, that challenge is arrested now. Whatever is fighting your peace, whatever is confronting your peace, whatever is challenging your peace is over right now.
Stand up on your feet if you can. But you still take your note in your hand. What is our response to the Christ? Number one, allow him not just to be born in Christmas or at Christmas, but to be born in your life. Let him be born in you. He said the day star must arise in our hearts. We must not just celebrate a Christ that was born in a manger. God is calling us to celebrate the Christ that is born in our hearts. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Let the day star arise. That star that led the wise men should now step into our hearts. And number two follows. Allow him to live his life through you. Let him live his life through you. For to me, to live is Christ. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Allow him to live his life through you. Can your mother feel Christ in you? Your friend, your brother, your sister. Have you ever done anything that has reminded anybody about Jesus Christ? This is how Christ behaves. Allow him to live his life through you. This whole world is dying of lack of love. There is massive selfishness. Massive. But Jesus Christ is asking you, when he lives through you, there will be love between husband and wife, father and children. When he lives through you, there will be forgiveness. Bitterness goes, unforgiveness goes, malice goes. Allow him to live his life through you. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as the one. Come in your sweetness. Come in your sweetness, fullness. Stamp your own image deep in my heart. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp your own image deep. One more time. Sing. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. One more time. Oh, to be mine. Oh, to be mine. Blessed Redeemer. Pure as the light. Come in the street. For the final time,
oh, to be like me, oh, to be like me, blessed Redeemer, pure as the light, come in the sweet.
And stamp your own
image deep in my heart.
Stamp your own image.
Stamp your own image deep in my heart.
Oh Lord, stamp your own image. Lift up your hands everywhere you are and just begin to speak to God. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. When you allow him to be born in your heart and you decide to live your life for him, to make the people around you to feel Jesus, you won't hold anything back from him. The Bible said the wise men opened their treasures. You don't hold back your time. You don't hold back your treasures. You don't hold back your talent. You hold back nothing. Lift up your hands and lift your voice and say, Father, I come before you today to hand over my life to you completely. Jesus, I ask that you be born in my heart, and I ask that you will live your life through me today. Be born in my heart. Live your life through me, Lord, today. Be born in my heart and live your life through me, Lord, today. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and speak to God. On praying. Thank you, Master. Lift up your hands high. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and give you the all. Emmanuel means God with us. One of the greatest things that happens to us at the birth of Christ is the presence of God. Father, give me the gift of your presence today. Let everyone who sees me from today acknowledge that God is with me. That God is with me. Father, give me the gift of your presence. Open your mouth and speak to God. The gift of your presence, Lord. The gift of your presence.
Deep in my heart, to be Lord, to be in my heart,
in the name of Jesus, lift up your hands. Everyone who is saying to me, Pastor, that day star Jesus has not been born in my heart yet, or I have strayed away from Jesus and I want to come back to him, I want to make my ways right with Jesus. I want to be genuinely born again. I want today to mark a new day for me. Wherever you are, pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you. No turning back. From today I go forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Those who pray that prayer, can I see your hand? And even if you didn't pray that prayer, but you know, Jesus is not yet born in your heart. Quickly carry your Bibles and bags. I live for Jesus day after day. Carry your Bibles and bags and come forward with me. I'll give you the count of seven. One.
Your holy peace, I will obey. I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus.
Let come what may.
The Holy Spirit. I live for Jesus.
Sing it to my tongue.
I live for Jesus. Day after day.
Sing it one more time.
I live for Jesus. Day after day. I live for Jesus.
I pray for you today. I ask that the hold of sin be broken off your life. Grace to live for God is released upon you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.